O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and salvation. Amen. Well, this morning we come to the conclusion of our fall series, Miracles. In this series, we have been considering a handful of Jesus' many miracles that are recorded in the Gospels. We've been examining these miracles, seeking to understand their meaning then and their meaning now. And as we wrap up today, I'd like for us to consider the interplay between faith and miracles. In other words, what role does your faith and my faith play in the making of miracles? This is an important conversation to have because there is a lot of misunderstanding concerning the relationship between our faith and bold action, divine action by God in our lives. From the pastoral perspective, I can't count how many times people have wondered specifically, do I have enough faith for what I'm praying for? Do I have enough faith for the miracle that I long for? I need a job. I need a miracle in my marriage or a miracle in dealing with a child making regrettable choices. Do I have enough faith? A loved one's just been diagnosed stage 4. Do I have enough faith? Do I have enough faith to act, to inspire God to act even miraculously? Most regrettably, this questioning about the relationship between faith and answered prayer, faith and miracles, often occurs after a prayer goes unanswered or a miracle doesn't show up for us. I remember vividly in the last congregation I served, being with a family, young couple. They were she was in the process of delivering their first child. And as they arrived for the delivery, discovered that the child had passed. She gave birth to that child without life. And I remember in that moment being with them after in the delivery room, literally collecting the tears of grandparents and dad and mom as we baptized that little girl. But the real work, the real pastoral work happened over the days, weeks, and months ahead as they wondered, did we simply take all of this for granted? Did we do something so horrible that God would do this to us? Did we not have enough faith? Friends, if you have ever wondered, maybe a prayer has not been answered for you and you've wondered, do you have enough faith? Let me say in the clearest terms possible, never in these miracle accounts do we find Jesus holding a measuring stick, measuring the faith when he chooses to move. Actually, last week, when we considered Jesus calming the storm, the disciples, as that boat was about to capsize, fear had capsized their faith. They had no faith as Jesus stood in the helm, raised his hand, and spoke those words, peace, be still. Friends, put away any notion that you have to have this amount of faith in order to inspire a miracle. You need to have this much faith in order to invite God to move in your life in a powerful way. But instead of seeing this interplay between faith and miracles as a measuring stick matter, our faith does have something to do with miracles. But instead of a measuring stick, think of our faith, miracle-making faith, more as a dynamic dance. A dynamic dance comprised of 3 distinct steps. First step, you want a prayer answered? First step, you want a miracle in your life? Express your need. First step, express need. In Luke's account today, Jesus is heading from Galilee to Jerusalem, and he's passing through enemy territory, Samaria. Jesus, of course, is leaving the Galilee to head to Jerusalem for the greatest miracle, miracle of miracles that has an effect upon all of us in all space and time. The miracle of his sacrificial death and his glorious resurrection. And as he's passing through Samaria, he stops by a town and he encounters 10 lepers. All 10, all 10 nail the first step of faith make or miracle making faith as they express their need. They look to Jesus and they ask, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." These lepers, for this first step, expressing their need was pretty easy because they were desperate people, subject to all types of religious regulations, quarantines, and such. They even had to announce when they entered into a community or a village, lepers coming, stay away. The shameful need to announce their disease was really injury to insult, since their bodies, scarred, oozing sores, disfigurement was red flag enough, but for the sake of the larger community, they needed to announce their diseased presence. Their need, the lepers' need, is undeniable. They long for a physical cure, a cure that did not exist at this moment in history, of course. And they wanted more than that. They wanted a miracle of reunion, the ability to be received again into their families and received again into the communities they were once part of. The first step of faith is to recognize our need, a need for God to do what only God can do. This first step, the 10 lepers nail. Perhaps we don't see many miracles in our lives because we're not in touch with our deep needs. Worse yet, maybe we lack the miracles that we could be subject to because we trust ourselves. We trust our own wisdom, our own resources, rather than invite Jesus Christ in our lives to do that which only Jesus Christ can do. I was in a conversation. I'm getting old now. I'm 48. My brain feels like it's 50. Well, I don't want to give a number. I'm going to offend somebody. My brain's just not working like it once did. And I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with somebody. I forget who it was. I remember the conversation, but I don't remember the circumstances or who it was with. But we were talking about Gear Up. That's our work right now as a congregation, putting together a growth plan for next year. And this person had a really astute observation. They said, you know, reflecting upon the lack of religious participation, the declining rate rapidly of religious participation, particularly in the United States, particularly by younger generations, I don't remember what he said or she said in essence or exactly, but what they said was maybe in this post-Christian consumer culture with so much at our fingertips, so much technology, so much medicine, so many services offered that a lot of people no longer feel they need to have faith or certainly be part of a community meant to inspire faith. I think that observation is spot on. But all of us have need. All of us have needs that only God can meet. No matter how well-heeled, well-educated, well-resourced we are, we still have some needs in our lives that only Jesus Christ can meet, one of which, baseline, which is miracle through and through, is our salvation. Our salvation is based, rooted in a miracle, Christ's atoning death and his resurrection from the dead. That's all miracle. But more than that is the miracle when those who are well-resourced, well-healed, recognize that there is an area in my life that I cannot earn. There is nothing I can do to gain eternal reconciliation with God. All I can do is humbly receive it, this gift, as a gift, like a beggar receiving bread. That in itself is a miracle moment. Salvation is something only God can do for us. I hope at least today you experience that as miracle. Want a miracle? Want to express miracle-making faith? Be in touch with your needs and articulate your needs. Express those needs to God. That's what the lepers did. Number two, get moving. Get moving in expressing a miracle-making faith because there is a place for you to participate in God's miracle for you. Back to Samaria. Jesus sees the lepers, and these are Jesus' type of folk through and through. They know they have need. They are broken. They are desperate. They are shunned, and they are intentionally excluded from their religious community. These are folks that Jesus gravitates toward always, then and now. The 10 lepers are prime candidates for a miracle. Jesus hears their plea, and you notice Jesus doesn't touch them, or Jesus doesn't really say some deep word to evoke healing. Instead, he tells them, okay, you need healed. Get on the road, go down to Jerusalem, and show yourself to the priests. Present yourself to the priests. That was part of the healing. They had to be certified healed. Luke says that they were healed somewhere on that road between Samaria and Jerusalem. Somewhere on a miracle, and that miracle mile, as they walked, the healing happened. Faith, miracle-making faith, requires some action on our part. Miracle-making faith, like faith itself, is dead if there's no action. Kind of reminds me of a story I've heard years ago. Many of you probably heard it, but it makes the point. There was a man who lived along the banks of the Mississippi River, deeply religious man, deeply Christian man, and a once-in-a-hundred-year flood was rolling down the Mississippi. They told the residents, you need to get out of town. This man said, I don't need to leave. God is going to miraculously save me. So as the floodwaters began to spill over into the town, his basement was flooded. A police cruiser drives by. Sir, you want to get in the car, drive you to safety? Nope, God's going to save me. A few hours later, now he's on the second floor of his house. The window's open. A neighbor in a rowboat sees him, rows over to the window. Hey, neighbor, get in the boat here. You know, this water, it's going to keep on coming. I'm okay. I believe in God. I believe in miracles. God's going to save me. Now, hours later in the night, he's standing on top of his chimney. A helicopter with a light spots him. Sir, we're going to send down a basket. We're here to rescue you. No, go save someone else. The God of heaven is going to save me. And soon after the helicopter flew off, the water swept him away and he drowned. Now, finding himself in front of the pearly gates before St. Peter, he looks so glum. He looks so disappointed. Peter says, sir, what's the problem? You're getting into heaven. This is a good day. He said, well, I'm upset. I'm upset with God. God didn't save me. God didn't provide a miracle. Peter says, are you kidding me? What do you call a police car, a rowboat, and a helicopter? Your job was simply to let go and get in. So it is, brothers and sisters, when we practice a miracle-making faith, some action is required on our part. You need a job? Yes. Pray for that job. Ask others to pray alongside of you. But you also sharpen your resume, and you also do the work of the networking that needs to be done. You desire to be healed. You desire to be made well, not only for the moment, but the long term. Great. But that lifestyle plan that the doctor gave you to put down the knife and to put down the remote, you need to take that serious. You need to take that trip down your miracle mile for your healing to occur. Want to avoid being driven to your knees, possibly in the future, begging God to rush in ninth hour to save your marriage? Why not begin practices now, intentional practice, disciplines that help assure that you don't grow apart, that you don't fall out of love? Miracles, brothers and sisters, can be preemptive if we understand that miracle-making faith requires action on your part and mine. Miracles are rarely disembodied moments from heaven to earth. They require us to lace up our shoes, walk the mile like the lepers, because it was somewhere on that miracle mile that when they suddenly looked at their hands and they looked into each other's face and saw the glowing skin, it was as they walked, they were healed. Want to see a miracle in your life? Express need. Don't be afraid to articulate it in prayer. Get ready to lace up your shoes, participate, get moving in your miracle. And then finally, the pinnacle, the top of miracle-making faith, give thanks. The focus of this one miracle story that Luke tells is the return of the leper, the Samaritan, to Jesus in order to simply thank him. Jesus puts the spotlight on this Samaritan leper as he closes the circle of miracle-making faith with his gratitude. Jesus asks, "Where are the others? Why have they not returned? But you, a foreigner, an outsider, you come back to express gratitude." It is only this 1 in 10 miracle recipient who truly completes the circle of faith, of miracle-making faith. The people who close the circle of miracle-making faith are indeed 1 in 10. It's no surprise when you consider only 1 in 10 close the loop to come back to actually thank God or Christ when he moves in your life. It's part of our human condition. It's just part of how we're wired as human beings. When we have a problem, a challenge, or a worry, you know how we obsess over it, how we just think about it, allow it to eat away at our mind and our heart. And then if we pray and God moves and that weight is lifted, for a moment we rejoice. For a moment we celebrate. But you know how it is. It's a fleeting moment. And then we open our mind and our heart rent-free to the next worry, the next challenge, the next problem. And we don't take time to appropriately thank Jesus. We see this weekly in our prayer cards. Thank you. It's wonderful. Epworth is a praying church. Every week we receive the names and prayer requests that you put on the card. Pastors, we pray for them. Staff prays for you. And then we have a team in the church that pray for those needs. They are great. Keep them coming. But you know, when I look at this list every week, it's a 1 in 10 list. Rarely do we have someone note, "I want to thank God for this prayer answered. Thank God for the job. Thank God for the healing. Thank God that my child came home. Thank God that I was able finally to forgive someone that I really didn't like." Miracle-making faith is to include the pinnacle, which is pausing to say thank you like the leper said thank you. I don't know if you noticed in this text, but it made me scratch my head when I was reading it this week, that after the leper came back and Jesus says, "Wow, you, the Samaritan, the foreigner, you come back to express thanks. Where's the rest?" Jesus then says, your faith has made you well. Huh. He's already well, right? Also, the other 9 who didn't come back, all of them were healed as they walked their miracle mile. Is Jesus just repeating the obvious? You know, you've been made well. Or is there something else here? I think there are different levels of wellness, spiritual wellness. And being made, there's a difference between being made well and being made very, very, very well. This Samaritan's life was changed in a moment, not only when he was physically cured, but when his gratitude was affirmed by Jesus. This miracle, this encounter with Jesus changed his life. He would never taste a bite of food the same. For this Samaritan, he would never see a color that was dull. He would never again take for granted the embrace of another human being. His heart is filled with thanksgiving. And the result now is a life that would be described as thanks living. That is what a state of spiritual wellness looks like. Living a life that's described thanks living. Maybe that's the miracle that you're seeking today. More gratitude in your life. You want to live in that state of spiritual wellness when the next bite of food never tastes like it did in the past, when you never see a color as dull, you never take the embrace of the other for granted. Maybe you need more gratitude in your life. You need to be more like the leper. Maybe that's the miracle you seek. If that's what you want, why don't you express your need? Good news is, The Jesus who healed this man is here with us now, and he's willing. He's capable and willing of performing new miracles. You need more gratitude? You want to live a new life called thanksgiving? Why don't you ask him? He can touch your heart and expand it so that more thanksgiving may fill it. You can get moving. You can get moving in living this new way of life, this new state of spiritual well-being. You can lace up your shoes and you can leave behind negativity, cynicism, suspicion, a scarcity mindset, and you can begin choosing to see everything through new eyes, everything as divine gifts. And finally, when you begin living this way, living differently than the multitudes of the ungrateful, multitudes of the entitled in our society today, when you start walking this mile as countercultural, you can thank Jesus. Thank him for all that he has given you. Thank him for who he is. And by you living a life described as thanks living, your very life puts the spotlight where it needs to be. Jesus Christ, the miracle maker, Jesus Christ, our all and all.